much. If you want more of that, I encourage you to come on Christmas Eve, because we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful celebration, complete with choir, and you're going to enjoy it tremendously. Can I ask you to be honest this morning? How many of you would be honest in church? You know, I'm gonna poll you, okay? I want to take a poll, and I'm just going to ask you to be honest, okay? I've discovered that Christians aren't always the most honest people, and sometimes we're very dishonest on Sunday mornings. Okay, here's my question. How many of you have regifted a Christmas present? Good. I know what you're thinking. You're looking around and you're saying, I'm never giving anything to that person again, because they're a regifter. Listen, I've got some interesting statistics. Take a look on your program. You're not alone. If you're a regifter, you're not alone. In fact, a majority of Americans regift Christmas presents now. That's right. Yep. It's become the new kind of thing to do at this season. And you could look at the statistics. How's that? We, in America, I think we just get so much stuff at Christmas. And we have so little time to buy the stuff for others. And we try to placate by giving you, oh, they'll like that, right? That now we're regifting it. We're kind of recycling it. Frankly, I think it's kind of perpetuating the problem, and the problem is too much stuff, too much complexity. And again, I think the solution is to simplify. Just to simplify. And what I want to just reiterate today, and it's the first point in your outline, you can pull that outline out of your program, is that it's this. Christmas is simply about giving Jesus. It's about giving Jesus. I know that each of you, we kind of feel guilted, don't we? We feel guilted, like we've got to get this person a gift, right? They're related to me, or they're my boss, or, you know, whatever. Guilt's a lousy motivator, isn't it? These social obligations. I mean, my wife and I, for us, this season is like horrendous. Because we have not just a family of six people. Four of our birthdays fall within a couple weeks of Christmas on either side of it. There's the seasonal stuff here. Man, we just run on overload. I spent 14 hours yesterday over at the high school at a tournament. It's just, you know, I don't know about you, but like I'm swamped. Anybody else feel like I get buried this time of year? Yeah. And then the stinking snow's got to come. Anyways, Christmas is about Jesus. It's about giving Jesus. And I love what the scripture says. God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never, never really die. You see, there are several extraordinary qualities about God's Christmas gift. Jesus is the most valuable gift you'll ever get. He gave himself at the expense of his life. Secondly, he's the only gift that'll last forever, long after all of those things that you're getting are broken and, you know, gathering dust. You still got Jesus. Thirdly, it's the most practical gift that you could ever hope to get. You can use your relationship with Jesus Christ every day for the rest of your life. He's never out of date, never inappropriate. His value doesn't diminish after time. He's never the wrong size. He always fits in every human heart. And Jesus is a gift whose value actually increases every time you re-gift. That's right. And He's one that you can re-gift without remorse. It's true. Re-gift Jesus over and over and over and over again. No wonder Paul exclaimed, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." And that's what we're doing this morning. I want to look at two lessons about re-gifting Jesus. Because Jesus is one gift that God wants you to re-gift, doesn't He? And we're going to look back at Luke chapter 2 at these blue-collar guys, these shepherds. You can follow along in your Bibles, or you can just follow along on the overhead. It says that there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were afraid. They were terrified. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He's Christ the Lord." Now these guys, they get the scoop. And the scoop is their nation's long-awaited Savior has arrived. And they trust God's messenger. First thing they do, they trust the messenger and the message. And then they go and discover for themselves. That's exactly what God wants you and I to do. God wants you to discover for yourself this Savior. Many people think that, you know, having this an abstract awareness that God exists is somehow enough to save you. It simply isn't true, is it? You've got to have a personal connection. He's got to become your Savior for that gift to be opened up in your life. You've got to open your heart to Him as your Savior. That's what becoming a Christian is all about. And the ABCs of that are simply about admitting that you've got flaws and faults and failures, admitting you've got sins, and believing that He is who He said He was, God's Son and the Savior of the universe. And thirdly, by committing your life to His leadership, inviting Him in and inviting Him to lead and committing to follow Him every day. That's what it's about, folks. Simply put, those are the ABCs of becoming a Christian. That's a decision no one can make for you but you. And if you're not a Christ follower, you need to make Him your Lord, to accept Him as your Savior. And you need to do it this season. That's what it's all about. You miss Jesus, you miss the real reason for this thing called Christmas. What a tragedy. All the people that get all the stuff but miss the Savior. Don't miss the Savior this Christmas. Commit your life to Him. Now, let's look at what they do with this gift of salvation, this good news that they get. It says, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened." They hurried off, found Mary and Joseph. The baby was lying in the manger. And when they had seen the baby, they spread the word. Circle that. Spread the word. They spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. So all who heard it were amazed. And the shepherds said to them, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which they were just told. The first lesson that we learn in order to make the most of God's Christmas gift that's been given to you is to re-gift God's truth. Re-gift God's message. That's what these guys did right from the get-go. And that's that next fill-in point. Re-gift God's truth, His message. Because the gospel, God's good news, is a powerful thing. It changes lives, doesn't it? When they'd seen Him, they spread the word. And all who heard were amazed. These guys immediately relayed the good news of great joy that they had believed in, that they had discovered for themselves. Their message was filtered, of course, through their own culture, through their own customs. And it was customized and tailored to their audience, right? Probably a lot of their blue-collar buddies. And their families, people that they were closely connected to. You see, God's truth never changes. But the way we communicate that truth must always change, because our culture is always moving, isn't it? Our culture is changing. We don't celebrate Christmas the way we used to, right? It's morphed now, hasn't it? We've got to repackage. We've got to make sure that it's wrapped in ways that are relevant and appealing and understandable to our culture. That's what the shepherds did. We can see that they succeeded because people were amazed at what they heard, weren't they? They found it believable. And they found it relevant, because a Savior is always relevant. Folks, that's why we play contemporary music here. That's why we try to tackle relevant issues. If you want to get esoteric, come on in the Bible study at 9:15. We have a great time digging deep. Join us. Okay? But that's why we try to unpack it in clear and understandable terms. That's why we use dramas and media clips. And do you understand? That's why we did closers like we did last Sunday, Celine Dion's song, "Don't Save It All for Christmas Day." Man, that is relevant to our time, to our culture, and to our season, isn't it? Folks, these simple shepherds, they regifted God's message about Jesus. And it went viral, didn't it? I mean, it became contagious. And that's exactly what God wants. God wants Christmas and the real gift to be contagious in our hearts and in our lives. And to be caught by others through us. And that provokes a couple of questions that I want you to think about. Number one, have I embraced God's truth? Have I embraced God's truth by faith as the shepherds did? I mean, you can't regift what you haven't been given, right? Have you accepted that message? Have you sought to discover for yourself? Have you received Jesus as your Savior and your leader in life? The ABCs are simple. And if you are ready to commit your life to Christ, or if I've inspired you to make that decision, you can just seal it with a prayer at the end of this message. And if you want to get coached, let us know on the back of the Discover card. We'll do our best to coach you in your journey of faith as a Christ follower. But number two, for those of you who've placed your trust in Christ, the second question is this: have I embraced my responsibility to share God's truth, to re-gift this wonderful message of a Savior, to spread that message? I mean, each of the four gospel accounts ends with a challenge to go and tell everyone, everywhere, the good news of God's kingdom or His rule in the human hearts through His Son. What's more profound is that God gave this good news to religious outsiders, didn't He? People like shepherds. These blue-collar, third-shift guys who didn't have the inside track on their religion because of their vocation, their status and their culture, and their shift that they worked. And the angel shows up in their lives. Man, that's an inspiring story, isn't it? No matter how on the margins you might feel, God wants to show up in your life. And Jesus purposely picked religious outsiders, didn't He? He didn't go to the religious creme de la creme, the best and the brightest. No way. He went to the people at the margins, didn't He? Tax collectors and zealots, these radicals, you know? I mean, an ordinary fisherman. I love that. And He told them to extend that good news to other outsiders. And that's the purpose. Man, that's what we want to do here at Discover. We want to reach out to people that matter the most to God. People that are outside of His rule, outside of His reign, outside of His love. People that are outsiders. You might be an outsider today. Maybe even holding God at a distance. Maybe you've just got an impersonal awareness. I want you to know that God loves you. Christmas shows us that God loves you, that God is for you, that God is with you. And you need to embrace that gift. The second lesson is this: re-gift God's love. Re-gift God's truth. Re-gift God's love. Christmas shows us that God loves you above all else. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. God didn't just say He loved us, He showed it. He sent it to us, He wrapped it like us. And He gave them all for us, didn't He? Every last breath. And Paul, who was arrested by that life-changing love, Paul says in the book of Romans, he says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. He died for us, sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might possibly be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, that blows me away. Think about that. We'll certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we rejoice in the wonderful relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Every time I hear those words, God showed His great love to us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies. I don't know about you. How many of you have an enemy's name on your Christmas list? Gift list? Anybody? Okay, you know what? I don't either. Because I don't give gifts to enemies. Right? That's just the way it is. But those words that our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still enemies, man, every time I hear that, it grips me. Does it grip you? I mean, I don't deserve a teaspoonful of God's love for the jerk I am. And I know that most of you aren't any different. Given the option, we'd just do our own thing, wouldn't we? Be self-centered and selfish. But God, man, He gave it all. While most of us were running hard from Him, that blows me away. Christmas confirms this incredible truth about God's awesome love for you and I. The question is, how can I recycle God's love to others? Some of you are thinking, man, I can't do that. I mean, I'm not a real articulate. I don't know how to talk about Jesus Christ to people. I don't know how. How can I possibly? What do I have to offer? How do I do that? My schedule's so slammed. Well, that's for pastors. That's really for evangelists. That's for people who have that gift. I ain't got that gift, right? That's not what God's Word says. You know what? Before you disqualify yourself in your own mind, I just want you to listen to what Jesus says. And this is in the Message translation. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You've been treated generously, so live generously. That last line is key. You've been treated generously, so live generously. I mean, simply meet needs, he's saying. In your power and using God's power, meet needs. When you see a need, meet it. When you encounter hurt, heal it. When you see a hunger, feed it. When you come across someone who's discouraged, encourage. When you find those who are weary, relieve them. Those who are captive, seek to free them. That's basically what it's about. Simply meet needs. And that's what Jesus said, didn't He? He said, go to the lost and the confused people right in the neighborhood. He said, this is a large work I've called you to, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Listen, it's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice, an apprentice of Me. Regift. Regift what you have. Do what you can with what you have where you're at right now. Simple rule, isn't it? Come across a need, do what you can with what you have where you're at right now. Simple. Okay? Jesus says, if you've received My gift, regift Me to others. Regift My message. Regift My mission. in the way you serve, in the way you share. Point others to me by showing my love to them. That's simply, that's what it means to live, be a light on the hill, isn't it? You're the light of the earth. That's what he means. Just reflect God's love in your life. The amazing reality is that God's Christmas gift can actually increase in its value if your life reflects real change. That's the qualifier. Like shepherds, we too have been given a task to reconcile people to God by connecting them to Jesus, regifting him to them, connecting people to him in a life-changing way. I love what Paul writes. He says, this same truth, this good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the first day you heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Wow, I love that. His wonderful grace. Christ's, or God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. So I want to ask you three questions. I want you to reflect on them this Christmas. Number one, am I connecting closely enough to Christ to change me? Am I connecting closely enough to Christ to change me? Christmas is about getting Jesus, and it's your responsibility to see that you're forging a friendship with your Savior. It's your responsibility. No one else can do that for you. We can help you along in the process. That's what Sunday mornings are, Bible studies, small groups, classes. I mean, that's what it's all about. We can help you, but we can't do it for you, only with you. The second question I've got you that I want you to answer is this. And I want you to think about these questions and talk about them with your spouse if you're married, or with a friend if you're not, someone who's a Christ follower. Am I taking enough of God's truth in to transform me? Am I connecting closely enough with Christ to change me? Am I taking enough of God's truth in to transform me? God's word says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't let this world squeeze you in its mold, but be transformed by renewing your mind, changing the way you think. I love what Paul says. This is his tip. He says, let the message about Christ and all of its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can regift him to others. But fill your life with that truth. Take in enough truth to transform you. Get off the starvation diet and start substituting truth for that TV. You'll help yourself out a huge, huge amount. Third one, I got a question. Third question I've got for you is, am I strategic in showing and sharing Jesus with others? Have you received God's gift, Jesus Christ? And if you have, are you connecting closely enough with him to really change? Are you taking enough truth in to transform your life? And thirdly, are you being strategic in showing and sharing Jesus with others? Frankly, I think you've got to admit that when you look at us as Americans, when it comes to Christmas, we're a lot more strategic about getting, about regifting stuff than we are about getting and regifting Jesus. Wouldn't you say that? We spend a lot more time and effort in general finding the right presents than in presenting God's wonderful good news. And that communicates the lie that stuff is more important than a Savior. And that's just simply not true, is it? It simply isn't true. I mean, that's why we've made some tough choices around here in the past couple of years to change our Sunday services, to make sure that they are appealing and relevant and challenging to outsiders, people that are not yet connected with Christ. That's why we've done that. That's why we'd love to land in a place like the Eisenhower Performing Arts Center. A place that's more prominent and accessible and appealing. Because it's all about regifting, the greatest gift ever given, folks. I don't know about you, but I love the people that I'm related to, that I live close by. I love them enough to to want to link him to my Savior, to not let him end up without him forever. It's just too valuable. God's gift of salvation through Jesus is the most precious gift that could ever be given. And that's what we need to be regifting this season. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this indescribable gift. Thank you for sending your best, your one and only Son, to save us from the one thing we couldn't rescue ourselves from. Us. Our own flaws and faults and failures, our own self-centeredness, and our own imperfection. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your very life, every breath, so that we might be able to enjoy your life, eternal life with you. We are so grateful for you. Lord, we're sorry that we get sidetracked by stuff and it sends the wrong message. Forgive us for putting you on the back burner with all the busyness of this time. Help us, Lord. Show us how to simplify our lives, to simplify this season, to focus on really what matters, and to fill our lives with you. So much so that they can't contain you and we become contagious. We go viral. Just like these shepherds, God. Help us to overcome our fears and our own sense of inadequacy. And Lord, help us to become strategic about sharing your truth and showing your love to others. Use us, O God. Fill us, Jesus. Thank you for your indescribable gift, O God. Amen. We'll take your connect, your discover card during this final song. Just think about what's been said. Reflect on that. Also, we are collecting an over and above offering to meet the needs of members and neighbors who are hurting. So if you want to give something to the over and above offering, you can put it in this offering. Okay? Thank you. As children we believe.
is my prayer for every
prayed. I pray that you might know that love that surpasses all understanding, the love of God in Christ. Wow. On the back of your program, just got a couple of things I want to remind you of. First, kids, children's bell choir is staying after.